Today, as saints, we're all in this together. Part one, Paul's ministry to the Gentiles. We're going to be in Romans 15, 14 through 22. Romans 15, 14 through 22. And hopefully I'll get through it all. We'll see how this goes and we'll just trust in the Lord. Let's go ahead and pray for the word. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for calling us to be saints by consecrating us by the blood of Jesus, sanctifying us by the power of the Holy Spirit, raising us from the dead out of our sins to be new creations in Christ, and set aside, set apart unto service to you, God, as this is our reasonable service, as you transform us by the renewing of our minds and give us the mind of Christ. And Father, in the mind of Christ and in the hearts, these consecrated hearts that you've given us, these new hearts that we've had since we were converted, Father, we pray that you prepare our heart to operate within the word that you give us and upon the word that you give us, and that our mind will be set on moving forward in faith and not have anything hinder us, because we know if God is for us, if Christ is for us, who can be against us? So we lift all this up to you, Father, and I pray that this knowledge is balanced in love as we learn about Jesus and then we go and share it with others, as that's our priestly ministry to do. In Jesus' most precious name we pray. Amen. All right, so last week, in Christ's liberty, may we bear one another's burdens, the burdens of their weaknesses in the faith, regarding the non-essentials, which is we have liberty to ignore those non-essential things where there's disputes as far as what one person believes versus another. We have liberty just to ignore that and move on. But in the essentials, Christ crucified, the gospel of grace, he's raised from the dead, he's our high priest, and we're being conformed into his image. May we have unity. Unity in the faith. The faith that is given to us through the word, as taught to us by the Holy Spirit. And as we apply it to our lives through that same Spirit, as Christ does it all into and through us. But in all things, charity. In all things, may we share the agape love of Christ Jesus, the love that held him to the cross, the love that holds us to him, and the love that makes us obedient and has our heart's desire to do all he asks of us, because that's what's known as following him. Praise God. Regarding non-essentials, liberty. In the essentials, unity, but in all things, charity. So that all brethren are filled by the hope of God, or the God of hope, I should say, with joy, peace, and trust in Jesus Christ, and abound in the hope of our glorious future redemption. That's what we look forward to. While we're being perfected now, we look forward to that day when Christ presents us perfect in him to God the Father through the sanctifying work of the Holy Spirit. And you know, the best thing is, while we're still on earth, is for us to always keep in our remembrance, always in our mind, as it should be in our consecrated heart, that God sees us as perfect already. So don't strive in the flesh to do things in and of yourself, but surrender to the Spirit and allow Christ to pull us up out of our sins, out of this dark and dying world, into the light of Christ as we sit in the heavenlies right now in him. Amen. He sees us as perfect already. So don't beat yourself up when you happen to stumble. But get right back where you belong, as you're already positionally in Christ and you're perfect in him. And our hope is in him, meaning his obedient people endure. I love acronyms. Being in the federal government for 37 years, I make acronyms out of these things. Praise God. That's what we did in the government. Hope. His obedient people endure. How do we endure? We endure through faith in Jesus Christ, and that he's going to complete the work that he's begun in us, as well as complete the work he started for us to do, as he's given us good works to do from the foundation of the world, as it says in Ephesians 2:10. Because we are his poema, his workmanship. The church is his masterpiece, and we're a little piece of that mosaic. As the church being a mosaic, you see our face there, as far as God looks at us, as a piece that makes up that whole mosaic, as his masterpiece, his poema to this dark and dying world. So we all have a part to play in that masterpiece. And it all begins with our relationship with Jesus Christ and abiding in Him, abiding in His Word, and abiding in His love. And we practice that together in this fellowship that we call our church, Calvary Chapel Dothan. So we're here to practice abiding in the Word, abiding in His love, as that's a picture of us walking in Christ. That's why we come together every Sunday, to practice on one another. And when we make a mistake, it's okay, because love does what? Covers a multitude of sins, even when we mess up with one another. So, let's practice that. That's what our fellowship is all about. When someone is down, encourage them. When someone is joyful, rejoice with them. When someone is bereaving, grieve with them. But always point them to one place, Jesus Christ, and not to ourselves. May we never get between a person and their Lord, Jesus Christ. But may we facilitate the relationship they have with Him. Hallelujah. That's our role. And we're all in this together. That's our role as saints. We're all in this together. So today, we'll explore Paul's ministry as a saint. His ministry to the Gentiles and how, by the grace of God, he presented the gospel to them. And this would fulfill the hope of God's calling in his life. And we'll see how God provides everything to do that. As he's going to do to us. Enablement through the fruit of the Spirit and empowerment through the gifts of the Spirit. To fulfill the hope of the calling that God has given us and each one of us. God has a plan for our lives. As I said, he's prepared that work for us to do from the foundations of the world. So that's going to be part one, and we're going to explore a lot about saints. What's it mean to be a saint? Then, part two, which will be next week, we'll explore the Gentile ministry to the saints in Jerusalem, as we all have Jewish roots. The root of Jesse lives in us. Amen? Finally, we'll explore the believers' ministry to each other, as this will fulfill the hope of our calling. And part three literally is all of chapter 16. When we get to part three, I may have to divide it up into two parts just because of the length of it, with the final greetings and exhortations and that kind of thing. So I call it a three-part lesson, but it actually may run a little longer than that. But the bottom line is when we get done with this message about how we're all in this together as saints, we will have finished the book of Romans. Amen? 14 months in the making. That was quick. I talked about the board of directors, who are two senior pastors that I was under before. My Pastor Tim says, well, that's faster than some and slower than most. Okay, I'll take that as encouragement. Hallelujah. As God provides. So, pressing on. Let's go ahead and read Romans 15:14-22. And it says, now I myself am confident concerning you, my brethren, that you also are full of goodness, filled with all knowledge, able also to admonish one another. Nevertheless, brethren, I have written more boldly to you on some points, as reminding you because of the grace given to me by God, that I might be a minister of Jesus Christ to the Gentiles, ministering the gospel of God, that the offering of the Gentiles might be acceptable, sanctified by the Holy Spirit. Therefore, I have reason to glory in Christ Jesus in the things which pertain to God. For I will not dare to speak of any of those things which Christ has not accomplished through me, in word and in deed, to make the Gentiles obedient, in mighty signs and wonders by the power of the Spirit of God, so that from Jerusalem and round about Illyricum, I have fully preached the gospel of Christ. And so I have made it my aim to preach the gospel, not where Christ was named, lest I should build on another man's foundation. But as it is written, to whom he was not announced, they shall see, and to those who have not heard shall understand. For this reason, I also have been much hindered from coming to you. So as an overview of our message today, Paul's ministry is an example to us regarding the grace and the power of God. As one who had persecuted the church, had literally stood by, held coats while they killed people who believed in Jesus Christ, that's what a zealot he was called by God or ordained to be an apostle. He calls himself the chief of all sinners. If he can be saved, If he can become someone who goes forth and shares the gospel, it is our example that we can be too. Though we may not be apostles, apostles meaning someone who personally knew Jesus Christ when he was in the flesh, seen him, his life, his death, and then raised from the dead, we can do apostolic work, which is evangelizing, which is discipling, which is planting churches, which is what we did over 7 years ago here, planting churches. And then in that, we equip the saints to be built up to go do the same thing. So Paul is our example in all of this. If God can do it to him and with him and through him, he can do it to everyone. So that he would present the good news of Jesus Christ to the Gentiles, so that he could present them as living sacrifices, as he discipled them through word and deed unto obedience. Unto obedience. What is obedience but following Jesus? That's what obedience means. When it says, I'm a Christian, that means you follow Jesus. What does that mean? It means you're obedient to the Word of God, to the leading of the Spirit, to the enablement of the Spirit, which is the fruit of the Spirit in you, love, joy, peace, faithfulness, goodness, self-control, and all these other fruits. And you are also empowered. You are also empowered. What is empowerment but the gifts of the Spirit? Gifts of the Spirit through miracles, helps, preaching, teaching, evangelizing, the different gifts of the Spirit, word of knowledge, word of wisdom, these different things that God will give to each one as He will do or as He decides through the Holy Spirit to give them out in the body, because each person in this body is a joint in the body of Christ knitted together in His love to perform the function that He desires to do what? Make the church whole. To make that church part of that masterpiece of His church, the greater perspective, as we are then knit together in that mosaic as His workmanship, being part of the church together as the family of God. What an awesome God we have. He gives us everything we need. And He does it through our knowledge of Him, right? He gives us His divine power through our knowledge of Him. So praise Him. Christ was accomplishing all this through Him. And obedience is our spiritual sacrifice, which really means we surrender ourselves to God, our will to His will. And this is the hope of the calling that Jesus gave Him shortly after His conversion, and is the hope of the calling He gives us, that we will surrender and fulfill the plan that God has given to each one of us to do. And it's all done through Jesus Christ, and our hope is in Him. And this included the use of spiritual gifts as He identifies signs and wonders. And also we know that He did miracles as well, as led by the Holy Spirit and kept Him continually going to new places, as this was the calling of God upon His life, as His hope was in Christ to complete this work begun in Him and through Him. So He was an evangelist. He was a discipler. But then the Lord would move Him on, because there was a whole world of Gentiles out there, the known world, that needed to know Jesus and come to Him and to plant churches so that the whole world could hear the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ. So that was His mission, or I should say commission, a mission commanded by God to Him to go forth to the Gentile world. Let's go to Ephesians 1:17 through 20 and see what Paul's prayer is to us, as literally he was reflecting everything in this prayer about his own ministry. Ephesians 1:17 through 20. And it says, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. Remember, His divine power gives us everything we need for life and godliness through our knowledge of Him. Well, here it is. He said it in Colossians 1:9 through 12, and now He's saying it here in Ephesians, through our knowledge of Him. Verse 18, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of His calling, what are the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of His power towards us who believe, according to the working of His mighty power. That's a lot. You can meditate on that for a lifetime. I pray you do, because that's His prayer to us, because that's how we'll know it. So the hope of His calling, His obedient people endure, and they do so by grace. What is grace? God's riches at Christ's expense. And that's given to us. All these riches that are the inheritance of the saints are given to us through faith, through the power of the Spirit. And this is what it means to be called a saint. And what's our acronym for saint? Saved and inspired not to sin. Amen? Because that's that consecrated heart that we'll have. Not that we won't sin, but we're inspired not to. As we abide in Christ, abide in His Word, and abide in His love. Praise God. And this is what it means when we're being conformed to the likeness of Christ. The very image of Him. All right, well, let's go ahead and press on. Let's do our verse by verse now. So verses 14 through 16, subtitled this, His example as a saint, He fulfilled the hope of His calling. Now, verse 14, he says, Now I myself am confident concerning you, my brethren, meaning those of God's family, begotten by God's grace through faith in Christ, as Jesus was the first of many brethren. Romans 8:29 says, For whom he foreknew, he predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, the firstborn of many brethren. What do you mean born? He wasn't born. Well, what it means is that he was the first one raised from the dead, who was in the flesh, who was raised from the dead, so that he would be the firstborn, resurrected to new life, his new ministry, which would be now as the high priest and as our Lord. He was raised to serve in that new ministry, firstborn of many brethren. And guess what? When we are resurrected by that same power, we're resurrected as new creations to this new life, and we now have a ministry. A ministry of doing the same things Jesus did. We are furthering His ministry, but He's going to do it through us, through the power of the Holy Spirit, because that's God's will for us, as it was God's will for Jesus to complete the work He was to do while He was here on earth. And you know what? He's doing things in heaven for eternity, right? He's our high priest. When we die, it ain't like we're going to be sitting on clouds doing harps, oogling at the streets of gold. He has work for us to do on into eternity. So He has to prepare our eternal soul. And we'll get that new body, right? That resurrected body at the end of our life, at the rapture. We'll be raptured and get our new glorified body, one that will last for eternity. And then we will go about His business there in heaven. And you may say, well, what is that? Well, that's for another sermon on another day. It's during the millennial kingdom. We'll be serving as priests and as administrators for His kingdom. He says those who suffer with Him will reign and rule with Him. But we will be priestly kings, priestly administrators, if you will. Amen? So, we look forward to that. But we have work to do now. What's the old saying? May we not be so heavenly minded, we're no earthly good. What's that mean? You're focused too much on heaven and not on what God has given you to do today. And each and every day He gives us opportunities, not only for us to grow in Christ, but to help others to do the same, or maybe even lead others to Christ, depending on how the Holy Spirit would lead us and guide us. Now, if you're like Herbie the Love Bug over here, you guys ever see that movie, The Love Bug? He loves the Lord, and he just goes and shares the love of Christ with everybody. So we all have His work to do, not to be saved, but because we are saved. We don't do His work to be saved. It's because we are saved He gives us His work to do. Otherwise, it would be a work of the flesh if we're trying to earn something. Now, I'm going to get into what it means to be a saint, and we're going to need to understand this so that the rest of the chapters 15 and 16 make sense. All right, so let me just digress a little bit here. Paul used his reminder ministry because he talks about he wants to remind them of these things. And he does this a lot throughout his epistles. And here he starts off by reminding them that all believers are brethren in Christ Jesus. All believers are brethren in Christ Jesus. Jesus was the firstborn of many brethren, resurrected from the dead. So we're resurrected from the dead when we're born again spiritually. But what does that mean? It means we're saints. And this knowledge is necessary in order for us to understand what God expects from us as such. People will walk around and say, oh, well, I'm just a sinner. Well, guess what? That's all you think God expects from you. Right? How many times have you heard me say, No, you're not a sinner any longer. You're a new creation, created in Christ. You are called saints. If you were still a sinner, you wouldn't be a new creation. You'd still be in the fleshly nature. We have a new nature, the godly nature, the Holy Spirit's nature that lives in us. Right? So call yourself a saint. Don't have that defeatist attitude. Oh, I'm just a sinner. You're starting off wrong. You're starting off in the flesh. What does he say? Walk in the Spirit. Walk in the Spirit. Remember what Trump says? You've got to call it what it is or it can't be addressed. Well, whether he's right or wrong, the Bible says you're called saints. So call yourself what it is so you can be addressing what you're to do and not wallowing in what you used to do. You used to be dead in your trespasses. You used to have a life that was of no value to God from the perspective of anything we do in the flesh, he does not value. Not that he didn't know that one day we would come to him and be born again, because he knew that from the foundation of the world. Ephesians 1:4 tells us that. We're called saints, and he expects us to live like saints. Now, that doesn't mean sinless. It means having that consecrated heart that desires to please God because we love him. Not to obey because we have to, but because we love him. And as saints, we belong to the one who provided our sanctification. Now, sanctification is a broad term is used here. Sanctification includes consecration, which is us committing ourselves to God. And when do we do that? We commit ourselves to God the moment that God gives us the faith to believe in Jesus and we know that we were sinners and our only hope is in Jesus Christ and we repent of our sins and we accept Jesus Christ as our Savior and as our Lord. That's the moment that we are Christ betrothed, committed to Him. And He gives us His ring, the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is like a guarantee that we belong to Him. As we're sealed by His Spirit. We're taught by His Spirit. We're guarded by His Spirit like a jealous groom-to-be. That's what we are as saints. And now the rest is up to us. And what does Paul say? Paul says, I want to keep you as chaste virgins. Waiting for your groom. Waiting for your husband-to-be. When we are complete then in Christ with our resurrected bodies and we'll have that intimacy that we can't even imagine since we're here in a fleshly body, but how much closer can it be than Him living in us right now? Right. Through His Holy Spirit. He lives in us right now. That's that Holy Spirit. That's the seal He has. That's the ring He's placed on us, on our fingers or the seal of God. You know, they used to have signet rings. They put it in wax and they'd seal the container, the vessel, and say, hey, this belongs to God. This belongs to the King. And when Satan comes by, he sees that we belong to the King and he can't do anything to us except one thing. Start giving us stinking thinking in our mind because that's where spiritual warfare begins. And where it ends. We have a consecrated heart. We have a perfect heart. Why is it perfect? Because God cleansed us by the blood of Jesus. Sanctified us by the Holy Spirit. And He now lives in our heart. That's how we're seen as perfect. He sees our heart. He sees that we love Him and we believe in Him. Now our faith may be shaken from time to time. But praise God. It isn't the amount of faith that saves us. Right? It's that faith to believe that Jesus is the Son of God and He was raised from the dead and that He's going to complete the work that He started in us. It's simple stuff. But we go along and complicate it. But there are expectations now that you belong to the one who provided our sanctification, consecration, which is we have now committed ourselves to God and guess what He did? He dedicated us to God by the blood, by His blood, the blood of the new covenant. So we have been cleansed, we have been justified, we have been forgiven. Then we're sanctified, set apart, made holy. So when we're justified, we're declared holy. The moment we accept Christ, He declares us holy because by grace through faith, He has come into our life. He's come into our heart. Our bodies have now become the holy temple. And He sees us as holy. He declares us holy. Now the rest of our life is becoming holy, being made holy. And how do we do that? By everything that God gives us. What is it, Romans 8:28? You probably know it by heart by now. But I won't put you to test. I'm going to see if I remember it. It's my favorite verse. All things work to the good for those who love the Lord and are the called according to His purposes. All things, including the good works He gives us to do as we're yoked to Christ Jesus. That's what our life is about. Because He's preparing us for eternity. And to further His kingdom while we're here on earth. Sanctification by Christ is consecrated. We dedicate ourselves to Him through faith that God has given us. So it ain't like anything we've done, but we've just surrendered at that point. And now He's given us God, the Son, to live in us through the Holy Spirit. We've been justified, cleansed by the blood of Jesus. We're now forgiven of our sins. Then we're sanctified, set apart for holy service by the power of the Holy Spirit. Set apart also means prepared for that holy service. So you can think of consecration as being identified as an instrument in the temple. You've been set apart and said, okay, all right, you're now the lamp, right? To go share the light of the world with people. You're now the lamp. I declare you the lamp for the light of the world. Boom. Now He gives you the oil through sanctification to burn brightly in this dark and dying world. Because it's all God who's doing it into and through us. And whenever we get these things out of perspective, we end up confused. We end up becoming unproductive. We end up sometimes focusing on the gifts of God instead of what are the intended purpose of God, but to use them to bring people to Christ and to confirm that we are sealed by the Holy Spirit and to show others that He is a miraculous God. Because when they look at me, they look at it like Paul. Man, if God can do that to him and in him, man, He can do it to me. Then they'll want what we have. Christ Jesus as their Lord. Amen? That's what sanctification is about. Two parts, consecrated and sanctified. Sanctified is an ongoing process. And as I always say, I know we're not fully sanctified yet because why? We're still here. As soon as He's done with us, He's going to take us home. So that's what it means to be a saint. That's the expectations that He has for us. And the word consecration, I like this. I got this from Bible Hub. The stuff I get is all from the Holy Spirit, but a lot of times it's through other commentators. But I know it's not copyrighted because it's from the Holy Spirit. Amen? But Bible Hub, they said that, and I believe it. I mean, this has really touched my heart. As a believer is one of a consecrated, which is dedicated, a sanctified or empowered priestly people. And what do you call those priestly people? Saints. Set apart specifically to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Christ and thus become living sacrifices. Become living sacrifices themselves and then offer up others to become living sacrifices as they share the good news of Jesus with them. But of course, it's all done through the Holy Spirit. All done through Christ. All sanctified by the Holy Spirit that lives in us. Set apart specifically to make spiritual sacrifices. Like a priest in a temple. Whenever we offer ourselves as a living sacrifice, it's like as a priest, we're offering ourselves. We're imitating Christ. What did He do? He offered Himself. He says, sacrifices and offerings you did not want, but a body you have given me as our atoning sacrifice, the one sacrifice that means salvation. But what do? We imitate Christ. We imitate Him by offering up spiritual sacrifices. Spiritual sacrifices, which is surrender of ourselves to God, and then sharing the good news of Jesus Christ with others so that they too will surrender to God. And what is that ministry? But loving Jesus. It says, those who love me will obey me. What does that mean? It means they'll follow Him. If you're not obeying Him, are you following Him? Well, not very close. Look at Peter when he got a distance away. He followed Him at a distance. What does it say? It says that we're in unity with Christ. We're walking in Christ. We're to be walking in step with Christ like the sun comes out. It'll be like high noon. We'll cast no shadow of darkness because we're walking in Christ. As soon as we start getting out of step with the light of the world, guess what? We start casting a shadow. We start casting some darkness because sins come into our lives. But praise God, with one word of repentance, we come right back and are brought back right where we belong. So again, that's why I often say it's not how often you fall into sin, it's how quick you repent and get back where you belong. And my experience has been that the more you repent, the less you'll sin because you'll ask God to take it out of your life. That's what it means to sit in Christ in the heavenlies. As you are consecrated, dedicated to God to live a life like that. Otherwise, you're fooling yourself. You're just going through the motions. And you have a false sense of security. And there's going to be many people surprised, I think. What pastors say, when we get to heaven, there's going to be a lot of bad people there in heaven and a lot of good people, the so-called good people in hell. It's God's plan. It's what He requires. It's what He expects. It's not anything that we can change. Right? And it's all spelled out for us in God's love letter, His Word. And thus, the church will be clothed in the righteous acts of the saints, as it says in Revelation 19:8. Revelation 19:8 says that the bride will be clothed in the righteousness of the church. So collectively, the church will be clothed in the righteous acts. We'll be wearing white garments. But we know that each individual believer is clothed in what? The righteousness of Jesus Christ, the imputed righteousness of Jesus Christ. Just like with the parable of the person who was turned away from the wedding feast because he wasn't clothed in wedding clothes. Right? He was coming to be a bridesmaid, so to speak, to attend the church feast, to attend the bride, which is the church, but individually we're called bridesmaids. So he came pretending to be a bridesmaid, but he wasn't clothed in the clothing he was supposed to be in. And what is the only clothing that's allowed in heaven? And that clothing is the righteousness of Christ Jesus. So he says, well, friend, what are you doing here? And then it was like, hey, out with you to the outer darkness where there's gnashing of teeth and all those bad things. So collectively as the church, the bride is clothed in the righteous acts of the saints, the good works that God has given us to do. Because we will have continued to live in faith through the Holy Spirit's power, as I said, who seals, guards, and instructs us, as it says in 2 Corinthians 1:22 and 1 Samuel 2:9. And who Christ saves to the uttermost via His intercessions, which He continually does, as it says in Hebrews 7:25. The saints are those to whom the privilege of revelation is given, as it says in Colossians 1:26. The work of ministry is also committed. You have to be a saint to have the work of the ministry committed to you. And that work is evangelizing, as it's identified in 2 Corinthians 5:18. Equipping the saints, raising people up to serve God, as it says in Ephesians 4:12. And making disciples of all nations, Matthew 28:19. So that's what we're to do. We are given the work of ministry to do, evangelizing, equipping the saints, and making disciples. And the whole church helps in that. Whether you have a helps ministry, whether you have exhortation, prophecy, you're a prophet, whether you're a teacher, whether you're a pastor, teacher, or an evangelist, we all work together to further the kingdom of God through all of these things. Nevertheless, brethren, verse 15. See, that didn't take long to get through the first verse. Going faster than usual, huh, guys? Nevertheless, only 14 more to go. Nevertheless, brethren, I have written more boldly to you on some points as reminding you because of the grace given to me by God. And I just pause here for a minute. The grace given to him by God. What did he get the grace of God to do? To correct them in this regard, as he's heard of the strife between the Gentiles and the Jews that were now Christians. And by the grace of God, God's riches at Christ's expense, given through the Spirit of grace, that I, Paul, might be a minister And in this case, minister here means a public servant. It doesn't mean deacon. It means a public servant. In other words, he may go out in public, which as a Jew you would never do, go out in public and start serving the Gentiles. He would be a public servant to go out and start sharing the gospel with the Gentiles. And now he's a public servant to get them straight, if you will. That I might be a minister, a public servant of Jesus Christ, as it says in verse 16, to the Gentiles, ministering the gospel. And here the word ministering, it's an interesting word. It's only used twice in the whole New Testament. It means as a priest in the temple would. As a priest in the temple would do. So essentially we can say, to the Gentiles, ministering the gospel as a priest in the temple would do of God. In other words, ministering the gospel of God as a priest in the temple would do, that the offering of the Gentiles might be acceptable and sanctified by the Holy Spirit. Now, I know I chopped that up, but I hope you get the gist of it. Bottom line is he's ministering as a servant of Jesus Christ, a public servant, and he's sharing the gospel of God, the gospel of grace, the good news of Jesus Christ to all people. And he's doing it as if he was a priest working in the temple. Because what did a priest do in the temple but offer up sacrifices? This is where we're going to get into that next part. Those sacrifices then would be holy and acceptable to God through the Holy Spirit. What's he talking about here? What we just talked about as far as being a saint. That we are set aside specifically to offer up sacrifices, spiritual sacrifices unto God for His glory and His purposes, and we do it by sharing the gospel to all people. Paul calls it the ministry of reconciliation. I think it's 1 Corinthians. The ministry of reconciliation because we are ambassadors of Christ. Now, this wasn't just a thought that came to Paul, but because he abides in the Word, because he abides in Jesus Christ and he's taught by the Holy Spirit, this is all pursuant to prophecy. As the Jews were to go forth and give the gospel to the Gentiles. Let's look at Isaiah 66:19 through 20. Isaiah 66:19 through 20. And it says, Isaiah speaking here, "And they shall declare my glory among the Gentiles." That would be the Jews. "Then they shall bring all your brethren for an offering to the Lord out of all nations." All nations are the Gentiles. There's only one nation of Jews, right? The Hebrews, right? "Out of all nations, on horses and in chariots and in litters, on mules and on camels, to my holy mountain Jerusalem, says the Lord, as the children of Israel bring an offering in a clean vessel into the house of the Lord." That's where he's coming from. He's a priest like in a temple, offering up these Gentiles as sacrifices that are acceptable to God, as cleansed by the blood of Christ, consecrated, justified, and sanctified, made holy through the Holy Spirit. We need to remember, too, as our bodies become clean vessels, at conversion, as we're cleansed by the blood of Jesus, we're consecrated and dedicated to God for His service, we're set apart through sanctification as His holy temple, the holy temple of Christ, who then resides and abides in us, in our heart, that consecrated heart, via His Holy Spirit, as He is formed in our heart, which becomes the holy of holies of His new temple. See how the New Testament ties into the Old Testament, presented as clean vessels. We are. This body is now the holy temple of God. Your body is now the holy temple of God. It's been cleansed by the blood of Jesus and has been changed from the inside out by the sanctifying work of the Holy Spirit. That's what it means to be a saint. That's what Paul is a saint. And that's his example to us as we do saintly work. We have priestly duties to perform. Offering ourselves as a living sacrifice, as it talked about in Romans 12:1 and 2. And offering others up as a sacrifice in the same manner through the gospel, sharing the gospel. Paul says, and this is his ministry to the end, and he'll labor to this end, perfecting them. Let's turn to Colossians 1:26 through 29. He'll labor to this end, perfecting the saints, through the sanctifying work of the Holy Spirit that works in both as Christ's apostle and works in all who are brethren in Christ Jesus. Let's read Colossians 1:26 through 29, and then we're going to come to a close here because I know we're running a little over on time here. So I'm only going to get about halfway through my message here. But that's okay. We can pick it up next week. That's what's good about this verse-by-verse teaching. You know where I left off. All right. So Colossians 1:26 through 29 says, "The mystery which has been hidden from ages and from generations, but now has been revealed to His saints." Who's it been revealed to? Hasn't been revealed to some theologian who's never been born again. I don't care if he's at Notre Dame or Liberty University or whatever it may be. It's revealed to us simple saints. You don't have to be a theologian. Our life is a study of God. We are theologians, but we get it from the Holy Spirit and not from man's wisdom. "To them God willed to make known what are the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you." Christ in you, the hope of glory. "Him we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. To this end I also labor, striving according to His working, which works in me mightily." Some people think that when you come to Christ, there's no effort involved. Wrong. The difference is we now strive in the Spirit, surrendered to God and not in the flesh, not trying to do it ourselves, as Paul portrayed in Romans chapter 7. "Oh, why do I do the things I know I shouldn't and I don't do the things I know I should?" That's the flesh. "Who can help me?" He says in Romans chapter 8. Praise God for Jesus Christ. Those who are in Christ now, therefore, there's no condemnation. Those who walk in the Spirit and not in the flesh. Praise God. What's it mean to be perfect? Well, it means positionally, you're in Christ. But it also means in this context that we're being perfected. Being discipled. Being made holy. Those who are being sanctified. Those who are being made holy. That's us. Our saints. And we're blessed to be saints. But our work is just beginning. Because as long as we have breath, we are to serve God in the manner that He prescribes. He gives us the gifting to do and how He leads us to do it. Why don't we go ahead and stop right there? But let me close with this. Our application is Paul's ministry to the Gentiles served as an example and a reminder to us what saints do. We fulfill the hope of God's calling. His obedient people endure. That's the hope of our calling, to endure in Christ. It's a race. It's an endurance race. We endure to the end in Christ Jesus because our hope is in Him, the anchor of our soul. By grace, God's riches at Christ's expense given to us through faith in Jesus. And it's all done through the power of the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of grace that conforms us into the very likeness of Christ Himself as we are conformed into His likeness through it all, just as it did Paul. And may we not move on until our work is completed in the place He has us. Right now, you're here in Dothan. You're here in this church. May we not move on until the Holy Spirit leads us to go somewhere else. Because to do otherwise, you're walking in the flesh and not in the Spirit. Amen? Dear Heavenly Father, we thank You. We thank You for this message. We thank You for loving us so much. You gave Your only begotten Son to die for us on the cross, to consecrate us by the blood of Jesus, cleansing us, purifying us, justifying us. But that wasn't enough. You declared us holy, but then Christ lives in us through His Holy Spirit to make us holy. Make us holy by His imparted righteousness. Declared holy because of His imputed righteousness, but made holy because of His imparted righteousness as we abide in Him and abide in His Word and will desire to imitate Him because that's what it means to follow Him. So, Father, may You keep us on the highway of righteousness, the path You desire us to walk. And we know that path is level when we're following Jesus, as we walk in Him. In Jesus' most precious name we pray. Amen.